Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey everyone, Michael Anthony here. Van Halen, Chickenfoot, Sammy in the Circle. But anyway, you're listening to the only podcast that is dedicated to breaking down the entire Van Halen catalog one track at a time. And the podcast will rock. Ow!
Hello, baby!
What is up, all you rockers, rockettes, and everything in between? Thank you for joining us for a new edition of And the Podcast Will Rock. Welcome back to the show. Good to have you with us again. And if it's your first time, welcome. What we do here is we are the show that dives into the catalog and discography of one of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time, Van Halen. And we do it one track at a time. I am your co-host, Mark Meyer. And with me is Corey Morissette, my other co-host. Corey, how you feeling tonight?
I'm feeling good. It's been we've taken a little break from the wheel. It's been a couple weeks since we've done wheel shows. We had the big Fair Warning show. We released both of those a couple weeks ago. And then last week we did the big show with Steve and Scott, authors of Pictures Alive, which was a lot of fun and got a lot of great comments on that show. I know they sold at least one book. We had somebody in our Discord server, I think.
That's good.
Who got the book. And it was Scott Manifesto Monroe, of course. He got the book.
Of course.
Actually got two copies, one for him, one for his dad. And I'm hoping he's enjoyed it. I know he sure enjoyed my copy. But it's been a bit. We haven't had the wheel, so I'm really looking forward to tonight. And I'm looking forward to tonight because we've got a really great panel.
We do have a great panel. We're very fortunate to have a really good crew of constant listeners and contributors to the show, and these two are no strangers to being on the show or to their contributions, and we appreciate so much about them. So please welcome back to the show the pair of Tom Armbruster and Matt Lacoste. Hello, gentlemen. How you doing?
Super.
Awesome. Thanks for having us.
I'm trying to point the right way.
Yeah, everything's backwards. Yeah, there you go.
Wait, this,
always no, a pleasure having you both. Yes.
Yeah.
No, glad to be here for sure.
All right. So as you say, Corey, we've taken a step away from the wheel the last couple of weeks. I almost forgot how the structure of the show works. Because little monkey wrenches, but you guys remember the drill. This is what we do now. We talk about some Van Halen news. So hey, anything going down over at the Van Halen news desk site?
Oh, there's always something. It's actually been a couple of weeks since I've been on the Van Halen news desk, so I had to catch myself up today. We have a great interview with Andy Summers on the Johnny Bean TV YouTube show. Johnny Bean actually contributed to our Fair Warning rankings. He submitted Women and Children First rankings as well, which is our September live show. And he's going to be on the show We just got a hammer down at 8 in October, so that's going to be a lot of fun. But he got to interview Andy Summers of the Police, and Andy gives a little quip on what he thinks of Eddie Van Halen. Spoiler alert, he thinks very positively of Eddie Van Halen. But you can catch out that interview on the Van Halen News Desk as well. There's a clip of Dave Grohl and Greg Bissonette hanging out with Chevy Metal and doing a pretty kick-ass version of Jamie's Crying. So you may want to go check out that. Greg Bissonette, of course, drummed with David Lee Roth back in the day, and Dave Grohl, little-known musician. I think he's with a band called the Foo Fighters or something. But
They hunt down the Foos and they fight them.
That's
yes.
Right. No, we had some Foos in Mexico City last night, Mark. I don't know if you caught up with
hey.
That.
Hey.
Let's get.
No, I did not, but I'll take your word
okay.
for it.
All right. There's also an unearthed 1995 interview with Alex Van Halen, where he talks about Van Halen past, present, and future from before a gig in Vancouver in 95 on the Balance Tour. So that will be really cool. Also, Eric Senich posted a link. There's a podcast that actually posed the question, what if Van Halen didn't implode at the 96 VMAs? What would have happened? Because, of course, 96 was one big music reunion, and that was Kiss. They got together, had their press conference on an aircraft carrier, did the big tour, sold out Detroit Stadium. Could Van Halen have sold out football stadiums, baseball stadiums in 96 with David Lee Roth? I think so. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think they could have, probably should have, but yeah, circumstances being what they are. Yes, I could see they could easily, I think, sell out something like, I don't know, Wrigley or something of the like. What do you guys think?
Yeah, a stadium tour would have been in order. They would have been able to figure it out and do that. I mean, they were still young enough too, right? I mean, Roth, what? Okay, so they hook up with Roth and do that exact thing 12 years later, 2008, right?
Yep.
And they sold out pretty much everything they did for at least a couple of years, those tours. So yeah, that would have been epic. It would have worked, I think.
Yeah.
If you didn't wear those high pants and act like such an asshole.
Well, yeah. I mean, but, Dave's going to Dave,
God, what a douchebag. Yeah.
Dave's going to Dave.
You remember that press conference when Eddie was saying, I got to get my hip replaced before we even talk about a reunion tour? And David goes, hey, this is about me, not your fucking hip. It's like, oh, well, there went the reunion right there. Yeah.
Burnt. Yeah. Done.
Like, you always have a set of dumpster fire in 2 seconds.
You always have to look at both sides of every story with these guys, right? I mean, for every Dave, there's an Eddie. And Eddie, for as much as we all think he was a teddy bear, he wasn't. He was a dickhead too, but not as public as David. And like that David thing, right? He just launched a stupid volley for no reason. How do you not realize when you walk out on the stage at the VMAs that it's not about you, it's about the four of you? Like, it's so incredible to me still today. It's just
megalomania is a very, very powerful thing to the I almost said weak-minded, but I was like, no, I'm not calling Dave weak-minded, but I am calling him a megalomaniac for damn sure.
He's in his own mind.
If you need any more proof of that, go to his YouTube and just be amazed at what the hell's going on over there. I don't recommend. That's the only endorsement of that YouTube page I'm going to give him, because yikes. However, we talk about that, but also we are show celebrating Van Halen, and for better or for worse, classic Van Halen and David Lee Roth's era of Van Halen specifically are still just mighty beloved, as the polls will show you every week.
Well, it did work out. They did figure it out, and they worked as a band from 2006 or 7 to 18, right? It's a pretty good chunk of time.
It is. And but it does. I like the question being brought up that what if they had originally in 96 as intended, like what would have happened then? Would they have recorded like sooner? Would they have done more? I don't know. Like, you think Dave would have stayed with the band longer if that had occurred than when he came back?
Well, and the other thing is, Wolfgang was very instrumental in bringing the guys together. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was Wolfgang who ended up calling Dave and saying, hey, let's get, you know, you want to give this thing a shot? So if it all gets back together with Michael Anthony, but still in the band, I mean, who knows?
Right.
I mean, given what I've recently, you know, I've been reading Tone Chaser and given some of the Eddie's interviews and comments about Mike in there, I mean, I'm not going to speculate, but it's who knows?
Right. Yeah. All up in the air, all of the what if scenarios. But, you know, unfortunately, they didn't live out this what if scenario. So no. we will never know. We'll never know. And honestly,
we have the recordings.
And maybe there's a good chance that they would have done the tour, but it wouldn't have been as spectacular maybe as we're thinking it might have been. Maybe it would have caused more friction with the four of them. Who knows? But it's always fun to play the guessing game and the what if game. Yeah.
We got a few more articles here. I'll just run through real quick.
Sure.
The fifth episode of the Van Halen fan documentary, the 1984 documentary, was released. The Tapes Archive did a fantastic job on that doc. Everybody should go check it out. If you're listening to the show or watching us on YouTube, you've probably already seen episode 5. Van Halen breaks up, but it's posted now. The whole doc is up. You know, he had his little issues with the label and them using the music and all that. But it's up there. It is fantastic. Everybody needs to go check it out. There's also a great thing with Wolfgang Van Halen on the extra show talking about how he's honoring his late dad. And the two big ones, I think, one was an Unearthed Treasure, Van Halen Brothers cover of Black Sabbath's War Pigs from 1972. So this is way back when they were about 17 years old and still called Mammoth. And they had Mark Stone, rest in peace, playing bass for him. So that's a really cool cover you can check out. They have a link to that on the Van Halen news desk, as well as a little clip of an interview from Desmond Child, our good friend Darren Paltrowitz from the Paltrowitz cast. He got to interview Desmond Child, a renowned hit maker of such bands as Kiss and Alice Cooper and Aerosmith and Bon Jovi. And he talked about having the opportunity maybe to go write with Eddie right around 96, some new tracks for the Best of Volume 1. And how Dave kind of put the kibosh on that. Dave wasn't a fan of running with Desmond Child, but you know, obviously the label thought it would be a good idea to bring Desmond Child in. All he does is write hits, and Dave, not a fan. So you can check out that little blurb on the Van Halen news desk as well.
Well, normally this would be the time where I go to the poll from last week, but we didn't spin the wheel last week, so there's no poll. We had, as you mentioned earlier, we had our buddies Scott and Steve talking about Pictures Alive, so no spinning of the wheel, no voting. However, I don't know if we mentioned it before, but we can mention it now. As Corey also talked about our live show, we ranked, fair warning. Overall, we had a full panel of people talking about it, and we put it up to a vote. What is your overall vote on 1981's Fair Warning? And no shocker, 96% What Dreams Are Made Of versus a 4% Dream Is Over. Is it as high or higher than you expected, Corey?
Well, I tell you what, it's interesting. 96% you said What Dreams Are Made Of on Fair Warning. If you look at how the individual songs did, the average is 89.4% What Dreams Are Made Of. So that's kind of interesting.
It is interesting. It's hilarious. Like, I wonder, it makes me wonder if some of the voters, aren't taking in every track into account, or maybe they're confused as like which album is Fair Warning.
Unfortunately, we didn't have Scott Haskins probably voting for Sunday Afternoon in the Park as a number one at the time. That would have probably helped the overall ranking, because, you know, but
yeah, and that doesn't factor in the polls, because we don't do polls on the instrumental. So there you go.
Ah, shit. But,
I know. Yeah. It's like it's all combined.
That was the lead into One Foot Out the Door, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, the whole is greater than the sum of the parts, as they say.
That's right. That's right.
It'll be interesting to see where it falls into the rest of the albums when they're all done, actually. Right? Because maybe that's going to be a high ranking.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, only three songs over 90% Fair Warning. Mean Streets was number one, 96.7. Unchained, number two at 95.6. And So This Is Love at 90.8. The rest were all in the 80s. So, you know, pretty decent average. But we had a couple albums that I think had more in the 90s. Diver Down must have had, let me just look it up here. One.
Yeah, yeah.
Only it's two like, for Diver Down in the 90s, but of course one is 98.6. That's our current leader.
Yeah, yeah. And that'll be interesting once Diver Down's finished, how people overall vote that one based on the individuals, and I'm excited to see how people overall vote Van Halen 3, because I think that's just going to be chaotic of the highest degree. but we're not there yet, and we're not we'll be there. Yeah, War of Attrition. In fact, the next album we discuss will be Women and Children First, because we finished that album. So be on the lookout. We'll talk more about that in a bit. That's all I've got. What do you say we do our other favorite thing? Yeah. Say it with me, everybody. It's time to manifest.
Manifest.
It has been a hot second since we have spun the wheel. So let's see if, given the fierce, fickle wheel that she is, we've given her a break. Yeah, so maybe she'll be in a better mood. But you never know. It is a fickle thing, this wheel. So with that being in mind, Tom, Matt, you guys are our honored guests, sort of extensions of the show, rather. So you're here. I want to know, what do you want to manifest for the show? Tom, let's start with you.
Well, I contemplated on the Discord the odds of rolling Josefina technically twice in a row, since we did a stunt spin last week and it landed on Josefina. So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stick with either that or the other track from three. Let's get it off the board.
You're doing it.
I agree with the dog. You're sticking with chaos is what you're sticking with, and I just don't. Why would you do this to yourself? And why would you do this?
I just don't want to hear those songs.
But I get it. Look, eventually we have to get through them, because otherwise the album's just going to be hanging out there and we can't complete the show. So fair enough. There's one for Josefina, because Tom just wants to see the whole world burn. But Matt, you're a reasonable person, I think. What do you want to manifest for the show tonight?
I love Tom's manifestation. I love the chaos agent that he is tonight. But I'm going to go with something I really do want to hear, and I'm going to say House of Pain. It's about time. Let's go.
Yeah. Long since manifested, we have not spun it, but yeah, House of Pain is definitely one we've been itching to do. So that's all right. There you go. One for House of Pain. Corey, how about yourself?
Well, I'll go to the Discord first, and we'll get some manifestations.
Oh, okay, I was going to do that
there.
After. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I like ruining your night. So Jeff Brewer wants to hear "Hang 'Em High," which I think would be a great call. I would be on board with that, but I really think we need some Sammy tonight. Kevin Brown also wants Josefina. He loves Van Halen 3. He's such
twat.
A huge fan. Yeah. I'm going to break out Beautiful Girls here pretty quick for that son of a bitch.
Don't you do it.
Chaz wants to hear Spanked, of course. Chaz.
Of course.
Did a whole podcast on Lulu, for fuck's sakes. He wants to hear Spanked. There you go. But I'm gonna go with my good buddy Scott. I've been manifesting this one for a while when it came to Sammy Tracks, and he's manifesting it here tonight too. Black and Blue from OU812. That's what I want to hear tonight. That's what Scott wants to hear. Our good friend Kelsey Van Halen on Twitter, I was listening to that over the weekend and said, you know, how much he loved that song. So I think the three of us together are gonna put our manifestation powers together and try and get Black and Blue. How about you, Mark?
Black and Blue would be a really good one. House of Pain would be fun. And then there were other votes. You know what? I'm gonna it's not to be a dick, but it is what it is. I'm going Pound Cake, man. I'm trying real, real hard to get some more Sammy into the fold here, but the wheel just seems to be determined that no, you're gonna end on all the Sammy stuff. And like, okay, cool, but I need a little variety. So and we've got plenty from the fuck album that we still have to do. So why not, hit me up with a banger. So that's what I want.
So Pound Cake was done, but the live version. Yeah. Not the recorded version.
Right.
Correct. Yeah.
So that's still on.
So it's like a little tease. It's a little tease, but it is technically still on the wheel. And, I figured why not? Let's really get into it. So
let me just say, that's an interesting dichotomy. Mm-hmm. I mean, if it comes, that'd be great because we can discuss it. But which is better? I think the live version's better, man. Like, it's hard. I mean, it's hard.
It's not bad. It's not a bad version. That, you know what, that'll warrant some conversations for sure. We'll put a pin in that and we'll see what happens.
Let's go.
But yeah, there you go. We have we got our Discord people. We've got our panelists. It's time to spin that wheel. Look how clear that text is. That means we don't have far left to go. We are under 30. So what do you say, Corey? If Sammy's ready in the back and you're ready, let's spin it.
All right, we got five lurkers watching us right now. I'm going to shuffle the wheel five times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. All right, here we go. Oh, look at this. Did you guys call it? Look at that, Mark Kamar. Called his shot.
I did it.
Motherfucking pound cake.
Yeah.
Wow. That's pound twice.
Fuck. I love it. That's
you've called your shot twice now. Yeah. Impressive.
I'm still not at three like you, but you know, I'm getting there.
Oh, you're catching up. My lead is shrinking.
I almost had my second one. That was almost my second one. Just let's get it out of the way.
House of Pain
was right there.
Guess what? Black and Blue is only a couple away as well. It's right there.
That's true. Look at that. That's
fun.
Almost had Human's Being.
Yeah,
man, wouldn't have been mad at that.
Another one. I wouldn't have either. But you know, again, the wheels just like, nah. Hold on. We'll wait for that one. But Pound Cake, how about that?
Let's go. So, this is fun. we talked about it 30 seconds ago. Great.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think there's too much more any little caveat special things we need to say other than it's Pound Cake. It's from the Fuck album. You know, we've been waiting for some more songs from this album to do. I just called my shot. Obviously, I want to hear it and talk about it. So if you guys are ready, what do you say we just launch into this thing?
Where's the drill?
Yep.
Yeah.
Here we go.
Stanley. Milwaukee?
I get that reference.
So right away, we talked a little bit about on the live version, but the first time I heard that intro, I knew in my brain it wasn't a power drill. I was like, I don't think that is, but it sounds like a power drill. Like, is that? And I think I even asked my dad or my friend or somebody. I was like, is Eddie Van Halen doing that? And like, it's like, oh yeah, that's his guitar. Like, that's, you can do that. You can make your guitar sound like that. That's crazy. But yeah, it's iconic. Yeah, exactly. Little did I know what was actually going on there. And I was just like, Jesus, man. But it's such a cool, it's not even like a grand entrance, but it's just something to like, hey, what do you, this is a, we're revving you up. We're giving you something exciting to look forward to. So here you go. Any thoughts from the crowd about this opening?
To me, it's the sound of this album, and you know, it's bounced around. What's the best sounding Van Halen album? And I love the comments about Two, and I love the comments about Fair Warning. They all kind of sound a little bit different. And I like the old stuff a little bit better than the new stuff. Besides Van Halen 3, which sounded like fucking trash. but like, I think Fuck and Balance really sound amazing. And Fuck was the album where they came in with the new sound. I don't think he was using his new guitar until the Fuck album, right? His actual, I can't think of it.
Music Man.
Yeah.
The music, I think Music Man.
Right. So it's like this album is the first album Wall of Sound, Eddie. And this song displays it right away. It's just that, like, it's just open. And it's open, and then Anthony with that running bass behind it, it just sounds killer. And then, you know, Sammy didn't have to clear his throat before he started this time. He actually sang something. So that's cool.
Yeah, we had Kevin in the chat says the drums, holy hell, they are the fucking drums, man. Holy hell, they're big. Yeah. This is this album. This album by itself is probably one of my favorite sounding Van Halen albums, just in terms of like recording quality. But it is true. Alex is like so pristine. It's just Andy all Jones. The drum tracks. Yeah, all the drum tracks on this album, but in this song right away, because you know we're opening the album with this one. So here you go. They gotta hit you quick. And yeah, they do sound big because they are big, man. It's crazy.
And it's funny you bring up Alex, because without him, this song may not have happened. I guess Ed was in the studio one day and just kind of playing a little riff. And they kind of forgot about it, but Alex went back and listened to the tape the next day and picked out that little 10-15 second version of the riff and brought it back to Eddie and said, there's something here. And then Eddie developed that into Pound Kick.
How about that? Sometimes it happens like that easy.
Yep.
The bottom end is unquestionably heavy. It's so heavy.
Unreal. Yep. Yeah. And it was a Makita drill that they do use. They do use a drill. Makita. I think he's just holding up to the pickups. Yeah. And it's a Makita. As Joss points out, it has a slower motor. The newer ones wind up too fast. Yeah, the drill was set to 60 cycles, and that's that nice hum you get.
Nice.
Oh!
Very cool.
All right, let's get back.
Like a drill.
Oh, I love when the Makita comes back in there. But Mark, you mentioned the production on this. To me, yeah, it's a toss-up between this and Balance, I think, for best-sounding Van Halen record. Yeah. But I got to tip my hand to Four Unlawful. I think it's the best-sounding Van Halen record. That's just, if you're not listening to this song with headphones on, go back after the show and listen to it with headphones on. And you're just, it's so pristine and so clear. Everything is separated so nicely. And those drums sound fucking amazing.
It's a way better album. It just is. Like, Balance is... Look, Balance is fine. I wish I could have gotten a Balance song. There's so many dumb songs on that album. I can't believe people think that album's good. It's really bad. Five songs good, five songs terrible. Fuck is pretty good from front to back. I mean, it really is all killer, no filler. Besides, you know, kind of the dumb shit. Spanked is on Fuck, right?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
And Pleasure Dome.
Yeah, Pleasure Dome's a problem. But... I don't know. At the same time, Man on a Mission, you know, Top of the World, Pound Cake, Run Around, Judgment Day. This album kills, and it's the sound, and it's also they're kind of in a good place. Like, it wasn't their third album with Sammy. They're not trying to figure anything out. They're not doing some weirdo bullshit that doesn't make sense, like Inside or frankly, Finish What You Started. Like, which I like, but it's still not really Van Halen, right? Wow. So this album, I don't think it's that hard to take. I think that song is just weird. But this is that they're clicking on all cylinders, and the sound is great. And I don't know, I can't even. His lyrics are stupid here, but they're stupid like Ross lyrics. They work so well. And he sings the shit out of this song, man. Sammy's on fire here. Yeah.
I just wanted to go into the chat here. Scott says maybe Al does deserve some of those writing royalties. Of course, that was the big talk when Mikey had his royalties taken away during the 1984 era. And, you know, the three of them ganged up on him. But it's like, well, what the fuck does Alex do for songwriting? Well, maybe he deserves, you know.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, he has the name going for him. Yeah. So even if he contributed very little. Yeah.
He's also in the studio with Eddie. The brothers are doing the brother thing, right?
Right.
It's the same with Vinnie Paul and Dimebag. And you guys talked about it a little bit in the Fair Warning thing. Brothers, when they're together, look, I guarantee you Eddie would not have played with somebody besides Alex if he had a chance to on a serious day-to-day basis. That was it. It was those two together were intertwined. So for every bit of Eddie's riffage, it's what you just said, Corey, like Alex brought something to Eddie. Like, hey, no, bro, this is the thing. And Eddie, takes him seriously. No, he's the yin and the yang, the whole thing. Mm.
Yep. Well, yeah, that it certainly helps that when you are your blood relatives and you're close together and you're musicians and you just know each other's sensibilities. Basically, if your brothers and musicians playing together, unless your last name is Gallagher, it'll work for you. That was a hit on Oasis because fuck that band. Anyway,
Chaz, our good buddy Chaz Charles, had to point out that Anvil did it first with a vibrator. He's not wrong. They've used vibrators and dildos for years. Look for Chaz in his new show regarding Anvil coming soon to the Deep Dive Podcast Network, I'm sure.
Corey, was it you who said Anvil sucks?
I don't think I ever said Anvil sucks. Actually, their Somebody documentary did. Is one of my favorite.
I'm actually almost positive your exact words were like that band sucks.
I think that, but maybe it's funny maybe it listened, but I was like, that band does suck. Look, whatever. The documentary is great. Nice.
Yeah, the documentary is great. Move metal on metal, I can listen to, but man, some of that shit is just.
That's what it was. Yeah, you were like, it's great bullshit. Doc, shitty band. That's what you said.
They
yeah.
stink.
Yeah. No, they are pretty fucking bad. Josh says pound cake has nothing to do with the pound of ingredients. It's a reference to a location, i.e., Pound Town. And Jeff Brax, what I had heard actually was Sammy said that he liked people who were like pound cake. That is, what you see is what you get. And it was kind of in reference to that as well. So a couple different meanings behind pound cake. See, it's a dumb lyric, but hey, there's some weight behind it.
He's telling a story. Yeah.
Kevin thought it was reference to his old lady parts. I'm not sure. Kevin's old lady parts or Sammy's old lady parts? I'm not sure. You know what? I don't want any more clarification on that. Tom, did you want to say anything about pound cake before we get back into work?
Other than it's nice to hear Mike. It's funny, you know, Eddie keeps saying, I don't like the sound of the bass. I don't like the sound of the bass. How do you not like the sound of the bass on this album? Yeah. And Andy Johns just honed it, brought it up, and it's like the best he's ever sounded, frankly. So yeah, works for me.
I gotta say, Jeff says Anvil does suck, but that's the point, I think. Well, maybe it is.
maybe it is, I guess. Yeah.
If it is, man, they're killing it.
Right. Cool.
Anvil's just trying to spinal tap. That's all that is.
Have you seen the documentary? Maybe. They almost start, right? Like you.
Yeah, it's been a while. It's been a while, but yeah, I saw it.
The drummer Rob Reiner with two B's, not the director, he painted a picture of shit in a toilet and hung it up in his house, and he's like touring his house, I'm like, oh yeah. Here's my painting.
Oh, yeah, there's my
literally painting. A step away from smell the glove.
Yep, exactly.
Smell the glove.
All right, let's go the other direction and get back in a pound cake, shall we?
Let's go. Can I just say it's great when they play this live and he points at Michael Anthony when he says you take the average guy. I just
every time, right?
Love that so much. It's so funny.
You couldn't see because I didn't have us up on the camera, but I was pointing at Mark.
I'm the average guy.
Yeah.
It is one of my favorite things. And Michael's like, yeah, okay, cool. Average.
Yeah.
Billionaire like, rock star just kicking ass on bass all by myself. Cool. That's cool.
16th notes.
Yeah,
this is 100%. Yeah, I love the guitars on this. Like even this little little accents that he's putting in there. Mm-hmm. And I think I brought it up on the live show when we get into the actual solo. The rhythm section. He's just kind of replaying the main riff that near underneath the solo. It's one of my favorite solos of all time. Uh-oh.
When the solo kicks into that second part and he does a we'll get there. But yes, I'm with you. Yeah.
But I'm just all I know Sammy's great. I know Alex is great and the bass is great, but all I'm hearing is Eddie and the guitars. I'm like, this may be one of my favorite Eddie guitar tracks of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking
doing a cool. lot. There's a lot happening.
Yeah.
It's a totally different Eddie than it was mm-hmm. in 1982.
I'm going to pause it just because I don't want to get sued.
Yeah.
But come on. If you're not hard right now, you don't like music. You're a thief of joy. Just crawl back into your fucking hole and die. You're one of those assholes that gives us a 1-star review on Apple Podcasts if you don't like Pound Cake for fuck's sake.
Yeah, you're one of those that like listen to the show and then just to tell us how wrong we are about what we're doing. It's
yeah.
Like, well, thank you for listening. I appreciate your input. We'll take that into advisement.
Welcome but yeah, to social no. media.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah, I love that little that change in direction, the little segment you know, for the let me get on little section, just musically. There's a moment where I think you would think Alex is gonna follow the guitar line a little bit and just kind of do a lot of little fills, a little staccato notes. So it's like duh, duh, duh. But instead he just keeps that same groove and it just sort of fills the room on top of what Eddie and Michael are both doing. It's very cool. It's a very cool band. It's heavy too. They kind of like just kick it into heavy gear right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy. It's frantic. It's
yeah,
chasing.
Yes.
It's, you know, it kind of like goes sideways for a second. Let me get mm-hmm. on, you know? And then when it gets into that part, right where we stopped, it's a da 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 da. That's my favorite Sammy Van Halen part of all time, I think, honestly.
He's feeling it.
Mm-hmm. Fucking A.
We got a great convo going in the chat right here. We'll go to Tom first on this. Chaz says, best album of the Van Hagar period. We're getting a lot of people saying they agree. Josh agrees with it. Kevin says 5150 will always be his favorite Sam era album, but as much for sentimentality as quality. Jeff Brewer also kind of agrees. A couple songs he likes better on 5150, but Four Unlawful is more consistent. And you know, this is an interesting combo. Let's start with Tom. Yeah. Which one do you like better? Do you like Four Unlawful or are you a 5150 guy?
I'm kind of, I as much as I love the way Unlawful sounds, but I like 5150 better because that's the tour I saw him on as well. So I gotta lean Kevin's way. It's a sentimental thing. First time I saw him live, Eddie's side of the stage, it was pretty amazing. I do like the tracks on 5150 better, except for Inside, but you know, whatever. There's always one.
There's always one.
Yeah. Something's gotta be the bottom of the pile.
How about you,
man? To me, it's totally between those two. It's 5150 or the Fuck album. I mean, Carnal Knowledge comes out in 91. I graduated high school in 92. So 91. I mean, it's my wheelhouse. That's my senior year of high school. Like, I saw them 3 times, I think, this summer. Loved every minute of it. But if I had to rank albums, I would always put 5150 kind of in the mix with the Roth albums, and I would put Fuck next. But I don't know. Maybe I would rethink that. I honestly don't know. Just talking it through, maybe Fuck is better. It might be better. I don't know. It's really hard.
It's pun intended. Nostalgia is a powerful thing. So even just on a nostalgia standpoint, Four Unlawful is going to win that for me in terms of between that and 5150. I'm going to go Four Unlawful. just for nostalgia's sake, but also I don't know. I think I agree Foreign Lawful's a little bit more consistent. So that just makes the flow of the album kind of work a little better for me, other than 5150. But like, as we know, the bangers on 5150 are bangers, and there's no discrediting that.
Yeah, I'm right there with Matt, because I also graduated in 92. So in 91, this was a big album for me. And like, I was big into Van Halen in 84. And then when Sammy came on 5150, when I was a kid anyway, a little less. OU812, a little less. And then Fuck kind of got me back into it. If I'm voting today, I'm probably voting 5150. But with, you know, nostalgia glasses on, I'm probably going Fuck. Both have a song I hate on it, Inside on 5150 and Spanked on For Unlawful. But the rest, geez, it's really, really close. If you're going with sound quality, I think that kind of puts Fuck over the top for me.
I agree with that. Yeah, the sound is better and the guitars are different. Like,
that's the selling point.
The Eddie in 5150 is the Eddie from David, and it does sound like David could have sung on those songs, and those songs would have been good with David, blah, 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 blah. Who knows? But this is an entirely different Van Halen that David would never have sung. And it sounds great in and of itself, all by itself. So yeah, I'm with you. Fuck, better. Let's go.
Yeah.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah, like he might be singing nonsense in those moments, but boy, he's doing it so well.
Oh, but the stank Robinson, meter,
exactly.
The stank meter is through the roof, and you got Eddie playing the melody that Sammy's singing there. Oh, that's 100% on the stank meter. That is fucking great.
It's one of the coolest Sammy Eddie moments that can't really be disputed. Like, right. Sammy could just sing whatever Eddie wanted to play, and Eddie could play something and know that Sammy could sing it, and that is that, man. It's right there, just like, oh, it's so cool. It's cool,
and it just, I mean, again, and I need for people to really understand this, because I'm gonna keep reiterating, because I have to. This is what I mean when I say that Sammy is a better technical vocalist than David Lee Roth, because Roth can't
sure argue with that.
You know, people seem to think that means that I like completely think Roth is terrible. Like, no, I don't think he's terrible. I think he has one of the best charismatic styles of any rock and roll frontman, and he kind of stands alone in his own league in that regard. But in terms of technical, like singing on a just a pure vocal level, he can't. And if you're gonna compare him to Sammy, don't, because Sammy is a beast vocally. That's always been my argument.
Here's the thing: the arguments and the comparisons are always gonna happen.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. But of course, like, the basic breakdown is Sammy's a better singer. and David's a better front man. Like, that's real easy to say.
I would absolutely agree with that. Yeah, yeah.
Right, but Sammy shows it right here. Like, that's...
Yes.
But this is just one of many examples. Times, yeah. But yes, yeah, this is all the ranges and all the stuff. This is Sammy at his best, I think.
Fools from was when Dave was like, let's do it together one time. And it's that little... yeah, right. Hey, it's almost the same melody.
There's stuff, but when Dave does it, it's more like the bluesy thing, right?
Yeah.
And Sammy can just kind of do it in the middle of a number one rock song on a Billboard charts.
Sammy's got more of that.
Fucking charted, man. This song was huge. Yeah.
He's got more of that rock and roll soul as opposed to Blade. He's tried singing blues before, and we were like, this isn't quite your wheelhouse, Sammy, but you're singing it decently, but it just doesn't feel right because you don't have a blues voice. However, he does have a rock and roll soul voice, and like, just again, I think he demonstrates in this song, just like many Van Halen tunes, just why he is a cut above vocally.
I tell you, Chaz in the chat asks, "Will be interesting to see how high Sammy's best songs get." And as of right now, Sammy's highest ranking song is 28th, according to our polls. And that's Why Can't This Be Love from 5150, 87.9%. The top 27 are all Dave tracks. I predict, probably incorrectly, but I predict Pound Cake's going to crack 90. I think this is going to be
get up there.
Sammy's highest.
It should. It absolutely should. Better. I mean, I don't know how you guys are voting out there, but it's like, give me a break. Come on.
Yeah, if you're listening to this at this point, I mean, come on, man. You can't vote this song down. That's insane.
Yeah, even the Dave guys can't hear this and say, "Oh, this is crap," because there's nothing.
No, I honestly remember I was so bowled over by my friends who wanted me to like Sammy Van Halen that whatever, I listened and I found 5150 and I was in. Oyo went to I loved, and then this came out, and I was like, dude, fuck you, man. This is the best band in the world. This is Metallica, because that was 91. But like, yeah. No, this is, come on. Give me a break. You got to embrace this. If you like Van Halen and you don't like this, then you got a problem. Go home.
Hey, one break coming up.
Tom, what do you think? Are we destined to finally get a 90 percentile Sammy song this week?
I don't know. I mean, if Why Can't This Be Love, which quite frankly isn't as good as Pound Cake, it is the highest one, then I don't know. I think the Dave guys are going to shoot it down. And I think they are too.
If nothing else, just for
a little
spite.
Frustrating.
Man, I'm a Dave guy. I hate my team. So let me ask you a quick question. Judgment Day, what decade?
Oh, let me just look here. Judgment Day.
We were all in favor of it. I remember it being ranked decently high, but it didn't.
That's my favorite.
90, I think
Sammy.
I tell you what. Currently ranked 55th out of the 97 or 96 songs we've done. It got 80.8%. What Dreams Are Made Of. 19.2%. The Dream Is Over.
Yeah, that's dumb. All
right. Yeah, I agree. But you know.
Oh, Kevin Brown is guessing 88% on this one. Man, I hope not. I hope this is like a 92, 93.
94.
He's probably right, but I hope not as well.
94. Let's go.
And Jeff says, Why Can't This Be Love blows compared to many Sam songs. Who are these voters? I kind of agree. Yeah.
I love that song, but again, yeah.
Time for a little guitar solo. What do you say?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bring on the guitar solo. There's some keyboard pads under that, isn't there? is that there's some keyboard stuff going on under that solo that's just, I don't know, kind of
sounds like there might be. Yeah. I didn't find it distracting, but I think it is something. Yeah. There is something there happening. Yeah.
I just love he's playing the riff underneath the solo. That's to me why this trumps the live version. That because you don't get that in the live version, right? You just get Ellie solo and you get Mike hammering on the bass, which is cool.
Yeah.
This is just that much better.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I will say this. So from the brother standpoint, that first 30 seconds of the solo, boom, ba-da, boom, ba-da, boom, boom, ba-da, like that weird drum beat that Alex is doing, that percussion thing to Eddie's, that's those two. That is those two, period, brothers lockstep into a thing before it becomes mainstream, if you will, in the solo, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It cannot happen with other bands that, I mean, it will, but like the lockstep between the brothers, that's an example. That's for sure a jam.
Yeah. And Alex does that all the time. And it's so great. Kevin Brown agrees. When he comes off the beat in that part of the solo, what a great counterpoint. Chaz Charles says, incredibly well built, absolutely. And Kevin says, that is definitely a synth pad. So there you go, Tom. Good call for picking that one out. Josh says, solo is slippery, falling down the stairs and landing on your feet. There you go.
But in a cool way.
Yes.
Not all right, let's get back way.
No. We're talking about a Van Halen three track in that situation. So. Tom, you're a bass player. You got to love that they gave Mikey a little something there. He got to go up a little bit.
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, Mike always throws in little bits and pieces here and there when he can. Or maybe it's Eddie. Who knows? If Eddie says, oh, I played all the bass, and don't get me started.
I had to show him how to play. Yeah.
I think if it's 16th notes, it's Michael. It's always him, because Eddie won't do
it. It's likely Michael,
That Michael landed the best. That's cool as shit, man. That's Michael Anthony cooking. He's awesome, dude. That's the one thing I hate about Eddie, really. When he talks shit about Michael, it's so unfounded. Drives me crazy.
Well, and Tom can attest, we're both reading Tone Chaser. We're going to have Steve Rosen on the show in a couple of weeks. And as early as Van Halen, too. Eddie was talking to him about, having a little dissatisfaction with Michael Anthony and his playing. So,
it just drives me nuts. Because again, if you don't like his sound, you tell him. Said, look, get a different amp, use a different bass. Let's figure this out. Why didn't they just work it out? And then of course Eddie's like, well, he can't. Oh, I can play circles around him. Well, sure, but he's your bass player. And I got to the point in the interview where, he said, look, I sat down with Mike and I said, look, you got to contribute. And Mike said, there's nothing I can contribute that you can't come up with something better. And it kind of made Eddie mad because it's like, what, you're just afraid? You're just afraid to bring your ideas? And so Mike promised to try and it just went there for a while and here we are. So...
Yeah.
The line that really got me though was when Eddie literally said, I love Mike, you love him like a brother, but here's the problem is if he leaves this band, he won't play, he can't play in any other band. And I'm like, Eddie, how can you say that? That just made me mad. I mean, I got a spot. That's a nerve, obviously, for me. So I'm gonna shut up before other bad things.
Oh no, it's fine. No, like
it's all good. This is a safe space.
We're not
it's all
good. Yeah, it is a safe space. We're not above calling it out when people that made this ban are being, you know, being real shitty. And we have, it's well documented that to Michael, they were pretty shitty to him. So it's like all of them were shitty. So it's that you got to love that band drama, especially when it's a band of such high success. It just gets more and more complicated. So. And obviously Eddie was wrong because, you know, Michael's done very well with himself, you know, reteaming with his buddy, Sammy.
Yeah.
Playing with the circle right now. The circle. Knocking it out of the park. Yeah.
Chickenfoot playing with Joe Satriani. He did all right.
Yeah.
He's fine.
Yeah. That pretty much worked out for him too. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Let's get back into Pound Cake.
That's some fine pound cake indeed. There it is. Pound cake from Poor Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. Or the Fuck album. Whatever you prefer. That's what we prefer sometimes. And there it is. Another Sammy track down. Another one from this album, which it feels like it's been forever. So that's nice. It's nice to finally get back into it. So now we do the thing that sometimes we love, sometimes we hate, but we have to judge them accordingly. So. Guess what, Tom, Matt, being our distinguished guests, I'm going to ask you first, Matt, tell me about Pound Cake. Did you think it is what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
I'm shocked.
Yeah, that's an easy one. I mean, come on. You know, I mean, I can't wait to have a song that sounds stupid because all I've done with you guys is get the good ones. This is my, it's a top five Sammy Van Halen track for me. And again, when they came out with this song and this video, it was the introduction to the new album and the drill. The video, think about that video. It's just like, wham, wham. It's a drill and all of a sudden just hot chicks rocking around. And it's like, wait, what? Like, again, I'm 17 years old. I'm watching MTV, as we all were at that point. And this thing took over our world. And amongst all the other songs, all the other albums in 91, which, by the way, look at that list. It's fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I think Matt froze.
Oh no, he froze. mid comment. Oh man.
You know, maybe we'll throw it to Tom while we wait for Matt to come back.
Throw it to Tom, and there we go. Yeah. Go ahead, Tom. Tom, let's. Or actually, no. Don't go ahead. Let me ask you. I have to ask you the question. did you feel? I pretty much know the answer, I think. But for you, is Pound Cake what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
I pitched a little higher that time around. I don't know. I was in college, and I went to the record store and I bought the CD along with Stu Hamm's The Urge. Came back to my dorm, put it in the CD player, and it did not leave. I mean, the drums kick in and Eddie's guitar and the bass, and you can hear everything, and it's stereo and it's loud and it's powerful. And it's just, it's a great kickoff to a great album.
Yes. Well said. Well said indeed. Well then, let's see. I'll throw it to you, Corey. did you feel after all this time? We a lot of manifesting. We've already done a live version of it, but now the record edition of Pound Cake. So so instead, I'm gonna say hold off on that, Corey. Matt.
Matt's back.
Matt's back.
Finish your comment there, Matt. Go ahead.
My inner set recycled. So should I start over? I don't even know. What should I do? Just, that was terrible.
I guess give us the highlight reels as to why you voted yay for a Pound Cake.
All right. End of the day. This was again formative years for me. 91 comes out. This was the biggest song in the world for about, I don't know, it seemed like an entire summer. And it's completely it makes sense. There's a reason why. It's a great tune, and it's a Van Halen song that rips on every angle. I mean, Eddie's great. Sammy's great. It came out of nowhere. Sounded awesome. Sounded different than OU812, which is kind of underrated. Like, that's the one thing about Van Halen. It's like you don't talk about with Led Zeppelin, or they always do with Led Zeppelin. And they don't with Van Halen is, you know, Led Zeppelin, every album's different. Van Halen with David, most of the albums were kind of the same for the most part. With every Sammy album, they really did something a little different, and I'll give them that much credit. And the Fuck album was different.
Yes, it was different indeed. And yeah, no, you said you nailed it. You nailed it. Absolutely. Thank you, Matt. So now I'm going to throw it over to you, Corey. I'm going to ask you definitively, now that we've gotten to the record edition, the recorded version of Pound Cake, do you still agree it is what dreams are made of, or is this not so fine Pound Cake and your dream is over?
That's the easiest vote I think I've had on this show yet, or right up there anyway. This is, when I think about my top five Sammy era songs, at least three come from this album. And this kind of alternates with Runaround and Top of the World as being one of my all-time favorites. This is definitely top 10 Van Halen for me, period. I love everything about this song. It's a 10 out of 10, no notes. It takes me back to 1991, cruising the strip in Plentywood, Montana. I told that story on the live show. If anyone wants to know what girls in Plentywood will do for a six-pack of Canadian beer, check out that show. Sometimes this track was playing on the old CD player, so I always get happy whenever I hear Pound Cake. It's fucking fantastic. It's one of their best songs. Frontman be damned. It's an absolute classic song. Ed's on fire. Alex is fucking killer. Mikey sounds great. Best production they've had in their career. Absolutely what dreams are made of. But Mark and Meyer, you know, you had a few positive comments, but you didn't really tip your hand too darn much. I'm kind of hovering over one vote, but I'm not too sure. Are you going to vote? Is this what dreams are made of, or is the dream over?
By the way, for full context of the story Corey is referring to, please do go check out the live show recording for that story. It's hilarious. But more to the point, there's nothing really I can add that all of you haven't already said best about the album. We talked a little bit about how just good in terms of record quality, the Fuck album just sounds great. And to me, the way everything, just the way the entire album plays out, but even just starting with Pound Cake right at the beginning, this is we talked about Sammy hitting on all cylinders, everybody's firing on all cylinders and nailing it. This to me is what I think of when I hear about, when I think about the Sammy era of Van Halen. Like, what is the sound I hear? I hear the sounds of the Fuck album. That's what I hear, because of nostalgia, sure. But also, you know, as we've talked about, it's like it just sounds good. And Sammy just sounds really good. Like, everybody sounds so good on this album. I really just dig the production quality. 10 out of 10, no notes. No notes, really, because, I mean, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? Oh, they should have improved it by doing that. No. It slaps. It hits. This is the absolute perfect song for this album to open with. I'm very glad we spun it. Very glad I landed. I shot my shot. That's now two for me. So I'm catching up with Corey. But there it is. Pound Cake from For Unlawful Carnal Knowledge. Yes. You know what this record means to me. So anytime we spin a track from said record, it's a win. It'll be really interesting, though. It'll be really interesting when we get to the two tracks from this album that Corey doesn't want to talk about. But until that time, we're gonna move on over to Corey's favorite game, in which I am really bad at guessing.
Hey, you've been really good lately, and remember, you called your shot tonight. True, so yeah. Luck is on your side. Yeah. You're feeling it. Here we go. Yeah. How many times have Van Halen performed? He's got this. Mark, we're going to start with you because you got this, buddy. How many times did Van Halen perform Pound Cake?
Well, I can tell you straight up, they stopped. However many times they played it, they stopped playing it when Dave re-entered the fold, because could you imagine Dave trying to sing Pound Cake?
Dave would never sing Pound Cake.
No, he would never do it. But even if he tried, it would. I'm going to say they probably played.
Here you go. What Sammy song would you want Dave to sing? That's the question.
Zero.
David said he would never sing a Sammy song, but which Sammy song should Dave sing if he had to sing one?
Spanked Up for Breakfast.
Because he can't fuck it up any more than it's already naturally fucked up, right?
So. Exactly. So.
Yeah, I don't want him to make a fool out of himself. No.
Dave could probably sing that better. I don't think it would make the song better, but whatever.
No. Dave song that
all right.
There's no Sammy song Dave would sing. And
no,
frankly, Sammy never wanted to sing a Dave song either.
So, no, but when true. He did,
I know he could. I'm just saying.
Yeah. I love his Ain't Talking About Love. Anyway. I'm gonna say on the tour, I'm gonna say they probably played Pound Cake 105 times.
105 times. All right, Tom, how many times do you think Van Halen performed Pound Cake?
193.
All right, Matt Lacoste, how many times do you think Van Halen performed Pound Cake?
So both numbers are really good, because you got to figure how many tours did they have after Fuck. And they played it every Fuck, and they played it every tour after. But all right, I'm going to go over. I'm just going to say 200.
200. All right. We have a winner, and the correct answer is 254 times. So Matt Lacoste, you are tonight's champion. They played it on the Fuck Tour. They played it on the Balance Tour, of course. And, of course, they played it on the 04 kind of reunion tour there with Sammy.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So they actually played it 80 times on that tour. That's the most they played it. Wow. So, yep. 254
I was
going to
say 200,
times.
And then, I don't know, I lowballed it.
Yeah, I felt 200 was a little bit, was too much. And so I was like, go a little bit lower than that. And what a, see, again, this is why I'm bad at this game.
It's a big number.
Yes, yeah.
Yep.
But that's cool, that's cool. Good. Honestly, if you're a hardcore fan of Van Halen of all eras, and you want to go see them play, like, you absolutely want to hear them do Pound Cake. So it's good that they played it as much as they did. They probably could have kept playing it if Dave could sing it, but, you know.
You know what? It's actually their 34th most played song, according to setlist.fm. That's actually, if you take out the guitar solo, the bass solo, and the drum solo, it moves up to 31.
Huh. Interesting.
So it nestled in between Beautiful Girls and Mean Street.
Wow.
I love that Beautiful Girls is before Pound Cake. There's something really weird about that, but hey,
well,
whatever.
Here's why, though. It's because when Van Halen toured from, what, 76? Whatever set list is taking tracks or stats of, 77 to 84, that's every year, right? And then when Sammy enters the picture and they tour, it's every 2 years? Right. So it's just by just numbers. Right. Yeah. So it's like Sammy did, you know, they just didn't play as much as they did when back in the day. It's like those 70s, 80s rock bands versus the 80s, 90s rock bands. They didn't tour as much. Right.
Yeah. That's a good point. Yeah.
That is true. Here's something interesting. Jeff Brewer in the chat says Dave did sing a Sammy song. He sang a Montrose song in the early Van Halen days. Does anyone know which one? Like,
that doesn't count. Yeah, I know what it is. I think I know what it is.
Kind of counts.
It kind of
a little bit.
It's a kind of song. Bad Motor Scooter.
It's a macho song.
I wonder if it was Bad Motor Scooter. That'd be kind of cool, actually, if they did. But not according to Setlist.fm. But again, you know, that's pretty sketchy, especially in the early 70s, right? Like they had. If you look at their song stats, they have one song in 1972. I think they played more than one song.
Yeah.
In 1972.
Could you imagine if Dave attempted sing I Can't Drive 55?
Oh, that would be something.
It would turn into like a carnival like song.
Mash that up with Panama.
Yeah. It would turn into sad and lonely.
When Sammy had I Can't Drive 55, Dave had I'm Just a Gigolo. I swear to God, it was the same time. It was the same time, or it was I Can't Drive 55 and Jump in Panama. It was 84 yeah. Van Halen. Mm-hmm. I mean, those they were dominating MTV. The two of them.
Yeah.
Like.
Yep.
What a weirdo.
VOA was huge. I just got that record on vinyl for my birthday. I'm very excited to check out VOA. Dick in the Dirt, I think, is in that one too. Right.
Nice.
Yes. Yep. Dick in the Dirt's on there. Yes.
All the Sammy. Dicks in the Dirt.
Sammy was in high school named Richard. His great songs. So that's pretty funny.
I Can't Drive 55, Dick in the Dirt.
Dick in the Dirt. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Here's Kevin Brown doing his David Lee Roth. I can't zip it and zap and doodle. 55.
That's seriously. I can't drive 55.
Zip it up, totally, up. It's totally fair. It's totally fair. When you didn't zippity dop and zoop it up.
It's like, you can't drive 55 and you can't hit that high note either.
They got rid of him.
Sorry.
Yeah. He can kick like a motherfucker, though.
That's true. Bozy, yeah. Nobody. He can kick with the best of them, if not better. So good job on your kicks there, Dave. Yeah. But this was not. Yeah, exactly. Time comes for us all. Just like the time to wrap up this podcast has come as approached. And here we are. So big shout out. Big thank you to our fellow panelists and extensions of the show, Matt Lacoste, Tom Armbruster. Thank you guys so much for being on the show. It's always fun having you guys, always with your perspectives and your, you know, we appreciate it. I hope you realize it.
So,
and always enjoy having the forum. Appreciate you guys.
Yeah. So, hey, you guys, if you want to be like Matt and Tom, you know what you got to do? You got to go check out our Patreon. That's right. Join the Patreon. We've got tiers that will more than suit your needs. And if we don't, then let us know. We'll make it. We will make it for you. We're not above it. But you can join our Patreon and be involved in the conversation personally. You can also, like Kevin Brown, like Jeff Brewer, and a few others in the chat, you can lurk as we're recording in real time. So, you know, you can be privy to all the things that Corey has to cut out, you know, because his producer's he's a producer extraordinaire that makes us sound really, really good. And sometimes it takes a lot of, let's say, podcasting magic. And that's what makes him the best of the best, and why we're all doomed when he comes to devour each and every show in the podcasting airwaves to bring forth the CMPU, the shared podcasting universe of Corey Moore says. See, look, that's just, I'm getting ahead of myself. That's the next
one step, universe at a time. Yeah. One universe at a time.
Correct. Yes. This is your multiverse saga. You're taking it slow. Slow and steady wins the race. But as I said, we have a Patreon, and just want to throw out some thank yous to our patron members. As I said, big thank you to Matt Lacoste and Tom Armbruster, who are with us on the show, but also to Nate from the Deep Purple podcast. Thank you. Rava Flav, Josh Caldwell, Greg Zito, Michael Griffith, Chaz Charles, Sean McGinnity, Kevin Brown, Per Lineker, Scott Monroe, Ryan Powell, Jeff Brewer, Ben Andreozzi, Scott Everett, Keith McCoy, and Janice Risco. Thank you all so much for your continued support. We appreciate it. And we love it when you guys show up for the live shows, and when you show up to lurk as we're recording. It's all good fun. It keeps the conversation flowing and it keeps it interesting. So thank you. You can also check us out at www.podcastwillrock.com for all the show. You know, if you missed a show and you don't want to go through, your Apple podcasting app or Spotify, then go to the website. We've got all the shows up there for you. We also have merch. Don't forget, we got merch. We got fun shirts. Inside jokes abound. If you listen to the show, you will be in on those inside jokes. So get you a shirt and wear it. And people will ask, what the hell does that even mean? Who even is Heath Murphy? And you'll be like, well, you only know until you check out the show. Or you can go find Mark and ask him what the hell that was all about, and he'll tell you all about it. But in any case, wear the shirt around, confuse people. They'll ask questions. And when they ask, you go, check out this cool podcast by not experts, not rock historians, but simple fans who enjoy a band and like to talk about it. So let me be very clear about that. Thank you very much. Corey, where can they find other like-minded podcasts and the like?
Before I get into that, you mention Brad Gould in the patrons list? Because he is brand new here to the patron. Our good buddy Brad, he's been on the show before. Big supporter. Yeah. Sorry,
I missed Brad Gould, but it's all good. There you go. Thank you, Brad. We love Brad. We enjoy Brad. So thank you for coming into the fold again. So yes, Brad Gould, also patron.
Speaking of inside jokes, I think there's a Tim Armbruster design that Kevin Brown did up. I still have to add to the storefront. There's one of those inside jokes that everybody can kind of take part in. But
I'm absolutely getting that t-shirt, by the way. So yeah,
I really hope you do. Keep the confusion going.
Yeah, I'll make sure and add it. That's my bad. I'll get that up there as soon as I can. But
it'll get there.
Mark Kammeyer, you talked about like-minded shows. We're talking about the Deep Dive Podcast Network. Chaz, hit record. He likes stealing this bit from our show to put on his show, Rush, to go through the Deep Dive podcast role. So here, I'll do the best I can here with it. The Deep Dive Podcast Network, featuring such shows as myself and Scott Haskin doing Backtracks, Aerosmith Revisited. Myself and John Mariano do a little show called Backtracks Theme Music, where we're breaking down our favorite songs from our favorite movies. Myself and Kevin Brown do a show called The Ultimate Catalog Clash. Each season is going to be a different band. We're breaking down their catalog. We're ranking them. We're going to come up with an ultimate winner. Season one is Phil Collins Era Genesis. You can check that out right now. We're about halfway through season one, having a ton of fun with that one. Kevin Brown also does two other shows on the Deep Dive Podcast Network, The Tom Petty Project and Seaside Pod Review, talking all things Queen with Mr. Randy Woods. Scott Haskin also does a show called Uriah Heep, The Magician's Podcast. Then we have Nate and John at the Deep Purple Podcast, The Simple Man at Skinnerd Reconsidered, Terry T-Bone Mathley at T-Bone's Prime Cuts on the Other Side. Rumor has it he might be producing some more of those. Here's hoping that happens. Then we have Rye at Sabbath Bloody Podcast, Paul, Joe, and David at In the Lap of the Pods, another Queen podcast. Going to be wrapping up this year, unfortunately, so check them out while you can. Andy and Matt at Hawk Binge, they're talking about the band Hawkwind. Eric and Jonathan at Maiden A to Z. Daniel and Josh at Diary of the Madmen, the Ultimate Aussie Podcast. Ben and Sam at Universally Speaking, the Red Hot Chili Peppers Podcast. George and Hattie at the Judas Priest Cast. Clay and Rye at North by South Podcast. That's a U.S. versus Canada music podcast. That's a lot of fun. Greg and Jonathan at So Far, So Pod, So What, talking all things Megadeth. Quinn at And Volume for All. Sav, Nick, Steve, and Mark at the Rock Roulette Podcast. Chaz and Greg just wrapped up Regarding Lulu, but they're going to have Regarding Roger coming up soon, which, of course, is a Roger Whittaker podcast. Who would have thought people were clamoring for a British folk podcast? But check out that, I guess. I think it's actually Roger Waters. I know in their last episode they're talking about Roger Moore. Is it Roger Ebert? But no, it's actually Roger Waters. You can check that out coming soon. It's not Roger Rabbit. Nope, that one's coming up soon.
And more most
interesting. Well, I'm out. Sorry, yeah. Chaz, I'm out.
Yeah. And finally we have Chaz and Shats do a little show called Rush Rash. They're talking about Canada's greatest export, Rush. So check that out. Episode 2 is now out there for your listening pleasure. Check out some more of our other friends, including Sean and Todd at the Sean Geek and Fast Fret podcast. We have, of course, Pod of Thunder, the recognized symbol of excellence in rock and roll podcasting. You're All Doomed, a Friday the 13th podcast, the DLR cast, the Bogus Otis Show, Booked on Rock with the legendary Eric Senich, Dissect That Film, and Three's Company 2, a rewatch podcast.
So many podcasts, so little time. How will you find enough time, Corey, to devour each of them? But as I said, slow and steady wins the race. And you're all doomed indeed, because any moment now, we shall all just be part of the collective of the Corey Morissette podcasting universe. It's just a matter of time. But until that time, we're still somewhat independent of his grasp, but not really, because I'm doing the podcast with him. So I'm a prisoner. No. Forced to talk about Van Halen against my will. Oh no, no.
No, you love it.
No, yeah, I do. I do, in fact. So if you wanna shout at us, you can do that at podcastwillrock at gmail.com. If you want to throw in some emails our way. Also, we're on Twitter or X or whatever the hell it's called, the Musk app. We're on there. I run the Twitter. So if it's less chatty on the page, that's just my bad, because I'm lazy. But keep me always make sure if I forget to post something, let me know, because sometimes you're like, hey, yo, where's this episode? Where's the poll? Like, you're running late there, Mark. Like, I know I'm terrible at social media, but you know, it's a progress, but you can find us there. You can find us on Facebook as well, all the fun socials. Obviously, if you're watching this, you know we have a YouTube channel. If you want to see past live shows instead of just listening to them, you want to actually witness the mayhem, go to our YouTube channel. We have them all there, so do that. Give us a little thumbs up, just because apparently that's super important. If you don't want to, cool, tell your friends, though, that I'm sure you got friends that like Van Halen, and say, hey, there's this decent podcast where these guys talk about songs, so you can jump on in there and let us know. That's a glorious design, and I love that it's a Tim Hortons reference, because oh, Canada, that's
great.
Always fresh Tim Armbruster. You are so fresh. You're so fresh. That's Tim, right. Awesome. that's gonna be the hottest seller right there. I cannot wait to get my own. So yeah, get you a shirt, share with your friends, let everyone know that we are, and the podcast will rock, and we will rock you later.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.